in Matthew 28. You know, I can start with something sometimes and start with one thing and the Lord will change it to number two. And I can start with number two and the Lord will change it to number three. And that's what happened to Marky. The Lord laid a message upon my heart and I give it to him on Thursday. And then the Lord changed it Thursday evening and laid another message on my heart and I give it to him. And then I got home and got to study and got to reading. And on Friday, and the Lord changed my message again. I gave it to Marky again and he said, listen, quit studying. He said, done. You are banned from the Bible until you open it on Sunday. And but I'm just so thankful to Marky that and Nina back there that they keep up with me, and I don't know how. And they keep up with me. Amen. Give them a hand. And, you know, when the Lord changes messages, and sometimes when he changes, he gives you so many places to turn. So we're going to be in Genesis all the way through Revelation, all right? So it takes Marky really and Nina really a lot to be able to keep up with me when the Lord's changing messages and lays them on my heart. And, you know, because then I got tabs up here, number one, number two, number three, number four. But God is good. We're going to talk about the message of Easter, his life and his ministry and the message of Easter and what God is doing. And we're going to look at Matthew 28 and verses 1 through 10 today. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to see what the Lord has to say to your heart and mind. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for an amazing worship service. God, thank you for this morning with Brother Leroy, just, Father, filling him with his youthfulness again, the Lord, and turning back 30 years in his life. God, you turned him loose and set him on fire. And God, he was preaching the Lord with all his heart today. And God, thank you for that message that he brought to us, the Lord, and the filling the presence of the power and the Holy Spirit of God and the worship service. And God, again, what an amazing worship service this morning. God, thank you for the songs you've laid up on Adam's heart to sing and prepared the Lord for us today to worship you in the spirit and in truth. And God, we just feel your presence being here today. Thank you, God, for meeting us in this place. God, you said where two or three are gathered there in your name, there you are in the midst. And God, we feel your presence here today. God, as Adam has already prayed, we rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. Any other opposition got to go. And God, we just continue to pray that you will let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our hearts and our lives. God, may you bless the reading of your word. God, your word is to be anointed. May you specially anoint it today, the Lord, as we open it up, the Lord. And God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears. And God, bless us to receive your word today. The Lord, may we not be the same as what we walked in here as, but God, may we be changed individuals. May we be excited and renewed and refreshed, the Lord, that when we leave this place to enter in your mission field, God, we'll be ready to take your word with us, the Lord. God, may you convict us where we need convicting. God, may you change our lives where we need change. God, may you bring healing where it needs to be healing brought about. God, may your word go forward today. May it say souls, may it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. God, we give the service to you. Thank you for an amazing worship time. God, again, may you bless the reading of your word. Hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Fill us with the words you desire us to say, God, that we can deliver your word with power and boldness, the Lord on high. God, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And all God's children said, amen. And Matthew 28 in verses 1 through 10 says this. Says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, where the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall be you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hell, and they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see him no more. When I thought about the message of Easter, and I thought about this, and as I said, God laid two or three things upon my heart, but he brought me back to this. If you're taking notes, number one, I want you to understand, the work is finished. He was crucified. The work is finished on the cross. My friend, his crucifixion paid the ultimate sacrifice for sins of the world. By his blood, my friend, and by the atoning and the shedding of his blood, the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It was God's blood that he gave, and my friend, through giving that, we have forgiveness of sins today. We have remission of sin today through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He was crucified. The work was finished, but thank the Lord, we're going to see, as Brother Lee Warren has already preached, he wasn't, it was finished with his work, but he wasn't done yet, my friend. And understand, we got a promise from the Lord that he's coming back. Oh, listen to him. If you don't believe in the faith and power of the Lord, you missed out this morning when Brother Leroy was here preaching. Oh, listen to me. He was preaching. He was running all over here, my friend, and he made a step on air. Peter walked on water. Brother Leroy walked on air. This morning, you would have had to been here to see it, because God took his foot and placed it back up on the platform so he can continue preaching, my friend. That's faith. That's power of what the Lord can do. I've tried that before, and I ended up on the floor. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in what God is going to do. If you exhibit that faith in him, my friend, understanding that the work on the cross, it was finished. It was finished in Matthew 27:35, he says, and they what? They crucified him. They parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. My friend, he was crucified. The work on the cross was done. Jesus was crucified. They nailed him to the cross. And my friend, he was crucified for you and me and for everybody that is in the world that would come to him, confess their sins to him. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus was crucified for the sins of this world, my friend, for all of us. That includes me. That includes you. That we can bring our sins before the Lord, my friend, and cast them before him and ask him to forgive us of our sins. And he does, my friend, if we have faith believing in him. My friend, we shall be saved and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All that work is finished. He was crucified. It's a historical fact, my friend. He was crucified. It's a spiritual truth. It's a scriptural evidence all throughout the Bible that he was crucified, and scripture backs itself up and gives us the verses that are pertaining in the word of God that we can understand, my friend. He was crucified, but he didn't stay there. It was predicted, my friend, that he would die. When you look back at Isaiah chapter 53, in verses 1 through 12, you will see, my friend, it was predicted. He says this, who hath believed our report? He said, in whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as the root of a dry ground, he hath no form, no comeliness, neither when we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and it was hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. My friend, he was despised. Despised means he was disdained or scorn. Rejected means he was abandoned. A man of sorrows means severe pain that he went through. Acquainted with grief means injuries that was inflicted upon him. My friend, he did that for you and me. He did that for all the sins of the world, my friends. He goes on to say, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. My friend, he goes on to say, oh, we like a sheep have gone astray, but we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generations? For he was cut off of the land of the living, and for the transgressions of many people was he stricken. And he was made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for it shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions. He bare the sin of many, and made the intercession and for the transgressors, my friend. Listen to me. His finished work on the cross was done. It was foretold, my friend, by the prophets. It was foretold in the Old Testament and New Testament. It was foretold, my friend, that Jesus would have to come, that he would have to shed his blood. My friend, he would have to go through the judgment. He would have to go through the awfulness of the crucifixion. He would have to be nailed to a cross, my friend. He would have to have his beard plucked out. Oh, that he went through for the transgressions and the iniquity of man. He had to die on the cross of Calvary. But thank God, he didn't stay there, my friend. 3 days later, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, he had to do that. It was essential for him to die. Why, my friend? To fulfill the scripture. It was essential for him to die. So it was to fulfill the scripture. It was to finish God's appointed work. It was to form the basis of forgiveness for you and me. Glory, hallelujah, amen. It was to form the basis of forgiveness for you and me, and to forever seal the claims of God against sin, and forever seal the claims of God against sin. Oh, my friend, listen, when you invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior, my friend, you're not inviting a dead Savior to come into your heart. You're inviting one that's alive and well. One that's alive and well to come into your heart, my friend, and rule and reign and be your Lord and Savior. Oh, listen to me. Your work is finished. He was crucified, my friend, and it was to, as I said, to fulfill the scripture that was written for you and me, as it was prophesied back in Isaiah. It was to finish God's appointed work. He appointed it, my friend, and made that atoning sacrifice of his son. The basis of our forgiveness comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the death on the cross of Calvary, through us believing in him and asking him to come in our heart and be our Lord and Savior. He tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13, he says, for whosoever shall confess the Lord with thy mouth, he says, shall be saved. For confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. My friend, he tells us in that verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, listen, Jesus paid the price. He paid the price, my friend, for you and me, that we can go free. Oh, listen, and it seals the claims against God, against sin in our life. Not only that, when I look back through these scriptures, I see, number two, if you're taking notes, the wonder is performed. He's not here, my friend. He's not here. The wonder is performed. It said, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Oh, what does he say right here? He is not here, for he is what? Risen, as he said, my friend. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord laid. Oh, listen to me. You can go many places and find many people claiming to be God and worshiping idols. And you can go to the grave and the tomb where they died. And no doubt you will find their body laying there. But my friend, when it comes to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, you go to the tomb of where he was laying and you won't find him no more. He's alive. He's a risen, and he's alive forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, God, that he's not here. As Matthew 28:6, it says this, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord laid. Oh, there was power there. That resurrection is a sovereign act of God. That resurrection is a sovereign act of God. You look at Ephesians 1. In verse 19 through 23, Ephesians 1 and 19 through 23, it says this, and what is the exceeding greatness of what? His power towards us who believing, according to what? The working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him, see him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, every name with every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things, to be the church, which is his body, the fulfillment of him that filleth all in all. And I sit there and I read that, and I see the power of God exhibited. I see what the scripture is saying. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? That's perceiving how God's power has changed Paul since his conversion, his experience to a greater extent, this divine strength of daily living. My friend, you and I experience that just like the writer of this book did. My friend, when you accept Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you experience the power on a daily basis that God exhibits, the power that he has. He goes on to say in verse 21, those principalities and powers that might and dominion, they refer to various classes of angelic beings. When you look back at Colossians 1 and you read that in verse 16, you will understand that God's power has exalted Jesus far above all these spiritual creatures, my friend. It's God's power. God is the power. He's the one that's in control. He's the ruler over everything. He's the head of the church, my friend, and he should be Lord and Savior of your life and my life. He should be the one that's in control of what you and I do. He should be boss of our life. He goes on to say in verse 22, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That means God has appointed Jesus, appointed him as the head ruler over all things for the benefit of the church. My friend, he's appointed him head ruler in your life and my life, and that's for the benefit of you and me. My friend, it's time that we let Jesus be head ruler of your life and my life and the life of the churches across the world today, letting Jesus be head ruler. Amen. Head ruler of your life, ruler of your church, ruler of your life. Jesus is divinely appointed ruler over the entire universe for the church's benefit, your benefit, mine. My friend, when we're going to allow Jesus to be ultimate ruler of our life, ruler of the church, ruler of every aspect we enter into, my friend, he deserves and desires to be ruler of your life. He died on the cross of Calvary. He arose the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, to rule and reign, my friend. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making an intercession for you and me. Oh, when we call upon him and we call upon his name, my friend, understand he's sitting right beside God. When we call upon a name, he is there, my friend. He's there. He knows. He takes your prayers and my prayers to the Heavenly Father, which is amazing, which is right beside him. Amen. Which is right beside him. One that's in control. One that's ruler of all. One that he's right beside, my friend, that he has that control in our life. Will you allow him to be Lord of your life? The church is his body. It is the fullness of belonging to him who fills the universe with all things. This is Jesus, the one who is so wisely and skillfully fills the universe with material elements necessary for its existence. It is God. It's nothing that has to do with science. It's nothing that has to do with anything else. It's God that speaks this world into existence, and it's God that supplies the material things that you and I have need of to make life necessity to live in. My friend, it's him. It's God, ruler of the universe. Not only that, but my friend, the wonder, he's not here. The resurrection is a sovereign act of God. The resurrection is a scriptural fact. The resurrection is a scriptural fact. He tells us in Acts chapter 2, In verses 22 through 24, he says this in Acts chapter 2, in verses 22 and 24, he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. My friend, I'm here to tell you today, hear what the word of God has to speak to your heart and my heart. Hear the words." He said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know him, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." My friend, I'm here to tell you, even though they crucified him, even though they put him in a tomb, it's not possible to have held him down, my friend. He couldn't be held down no more or bound down by anything. I serve a risen Savior that's alive and well. Nothing in this world can bound him down and hold him down. And my friend, I want to tell you, as a child of God, there's nothing in this world that can hold you down or hold you back, my friend. Listen, one day there's going to be a trump sound. There's going to be a shout from an archangel. The trump will sound, my friend, and the dead in Christ. And Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, listen. Christ wasn't bound down, my friend, by nothing. And the resurrection is a spiritual fact. My friend, you and I are not going to be bound down by death in Christ. It can't hold us down. It didn't hold Jesus down, and it's not going to hold you down. We're going to be set loose and set free one day, my friend, to take on out of here. And it might be today. It might be today. It might be like Brother Lee was stepping out on air and go, my friend. Oh, listen to me. I told Brother Leroy, "You got Peter beat. He stepped out on water which had substance. You stepped out on air and you still floated." Amen. Step out, man. Let him take control and take over. Oh, not only that, but the resurrection is a saving force. The resurrection is a saving force. When you look at Romans chapter 4 in verse 23 through 25, it says this, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." But for us also, it says this principle of justification was valid for Abraham and is valid for all the believers today, my friend. If it stood the test of time and then, it is stand the test of time today if we have our faith in it. He said raised again for our justification. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we too, that his sacrifice on Calvary was accepted in God's sight, and Jesus' righteousness is available for all that will trust in him today. Oh, my friend, the wonders were performed. He's not here, according to Matthew 28:6. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Oh, number three, my friend, the worker is seated. He is risen, as I said in Matthew 28:6. He is risen. He's not here. Oh, he went away. He went away. He said, "Oh, where'd he go to do? Where'd he go away for?" Oh, listen to me. It tells me in John chapter 14. In verses 1 through 6, he says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go." He said, "I go." You want to know where he went? This is where he went, my friend. This starting to make a Baptist get a little Pentecostal right here. Amen. Get a little bit excited about what the Lord is doing. He says, "I go." He says, "I go to prepare a place for who? For you, my friend." Oh, listen to me. He told his disciples he had to go, my brother. But when he went, Brother James, to prepare a place, Miss Karen, to prepare a place for you, to prepare a place for us, Brother Randall, to prepare a place for us. He went. He said, "And I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you," this is the promise. What did he say? I will come again. My friend, he's coming back, Brother Chris. He's coming. Dawn liked to jump over because she thought I was jumping in her lap. He's coming. Y'all better watch out. I might take off. You might be right. I might cross your lap and run all down the pews here. Oh, listen. I prepare a place for you. I will come again. And what does he say? And receive who? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, what happens? There you may be also. Where you are, there you may be also. He said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. He goes on to say, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And just like Jesus, he answers it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to the Father. There's only one way to make it into heaven, and it's through the shed blood of Jesus. It's inviting him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. There's only one way. Only one way through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, he's risen. His disciples saw him leave. His disciples saw where he went in Luke 24. In Luke 24, in verse 49 through 53, he says this, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you endued with the power from on high. My friend, that's what we need. We need to sit down, settle down until we endued with the power from on high. Ask God to fill us with his power. My friend, he wants to give his power into your life. He said, endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. My friend, in every church across America, just as it said, not only because it's Christmas time, not only because it's Easter time, not only because it's Thanksgiving, but my friend, we should come in the house of the Lord, in the temple of God, to praise and worship him every time the doors are open, my friend, to give him back what he's glory, to give him back what he's due. Praise him. Worship him. He died for you, my friend, to keep you from dying and spending eternity in hell. He gave his best he had to offer for you and me. All the least we can do is come into his presence. Praise him. Worship him, my friend. Oh, listen to me. It's not good enough to receive it just on Sunday. We need to be in God's word every day of the week. We need to be in prayer every day of the week. We need to be praising him every day of the week, coming into his presence, asking him to endure us with his power from on high, that we can do the work that he's called us to do. Oh, my friend, it's an everyday thing. Church ought to be every day in our life. Amen. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday night, not just on Wednesday, but it needs to be every day in our life. If you're going to be endured by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, then be endued in Christ's power every day of your life. My friend, it's a transforming power that God wants to do and work in your life and my life. The book of Hebrews, it tells us, my friend, he is seated at God's right hand. In Hebrews 1, in verses 1 through 3, he says this, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he is sat down on the right hand of the majesty of high. My friend, listen to me. You want to know where Jesus is today? He's on the right hand of the Father, my friend. The right hand of Father, alive and well for you and me. He still reigns, my friend. Why don't we tap into him, a living Savior, the one that is seated on the right hand of the Father. Oh, listen, I know know where he is. I know where he is. He went away to prepare a place for you and me. I know where he is. He's in heaven, seated on the right hand of the Father, and I can call upon him anytime. God, endue me with the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God, give me what you'd have me to say, endued with his power. Not only that, but the witness has testified. The witness has testified, and he said, my friend, seeing the risen Christ as he said that he would go. He tells us in Matthew 28:6, he's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. The Lord cannot lie. He said he is risen. Come seeing as he said. My friend, he's alive and well today. Will you accept him? Oh, he said he would rise, my friend. He said he would do that in John 2 in verses 18 through 21. In John 2 and 18 through 21, he says this, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up. And they said the Jews, 46 years for this temple in building, and thou wilt wear it up in 3 days. Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. They didn't understand what he was talking about, but Jesus was talking about his body. My friend will be destroyed, and in 3 days he would raise it up, my friend. He would raise it up. Jesus had that power to raise up that. He spoke of the temple of his body, my friend, is what he was talking about, being raised up. What he says is factual, my friend. What he says is forceful. It is help for our soul. It is hope for our heart. What he says is final, my friend. You can take it to the bank and cash it in, my friend. It's something you can write a check up on, my friend. What he says is forever settled in heaven. Oh, my friend, he arose for our justification. Oh, he tells us again in Matthew 28 in verses 6 and 7. He says, he's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And he go before you into Galilee. Therefore shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Oh, my friend, he was crucified. My friend, but listen to me. He was crucified, but he wasn't in that tomb when they went there. They looked in and they did not see Jesus. He wasn't there. Why? Because he's alive and well. He arose just as he said he was going to. He is risen and he said that he would. Oh, my friend, listen to me. All that he went through, my friend, all the suffering and the punishing that they did to him. My friend, you recall the beating of the cat of nine tails, my friend, ripping the flesh off of him. And the Roman soldiers knew how to do it. They had figured it out. It was down to a science that if they beat somebody in their back 40 times, it would kill them. But they beat them 39 times, saved one, because they knew they could beat somebody and take them right up to the point of death and not kill them. Why? Because they wanted to excruciate pain and torture in the worst way that they could. And that's what Jesus went through for you and me. They spit up on his face, my friend. They plucked out his beard. Oh, listen to me. They plaited a crown of thorns upon his head, and they just didn't put them on there, Adam. I believe they shoved them down to them. Thorns dug into the scalp, and blood ran down. My friend, that wasn't enough for them. They made him carry his cross, as Brother Leroy said this morning, down to Via Dolorosa, down the road to Calvary, to the hill called Golgotha. And my friend, he fell at his knees because of the weight of the pressure of the world was upon him. Oh, my friend, then they get him to the hill, the skull, the place called Skull, and they began to nail that, his hands and his feet to the cross. My friend, and they lifted him up, and they jolted him down in there. And my friend, oh, listen to me, he pierced, his side was pierced, my friend, and forward come the blood and the water. My friend, listen to me, he did all that for you and me. He did it for you and me. Oh, all. And all he wants to do is be Lord and Savior of your life. All he wants to do is you accept that truth, my friend. And he says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, if you've never called upon him, my friend, why not today? One of the greatest days in history, as Adam said, is calling out on the Lord. It's calling out on him, the resurrecting Savior, my friend, that wants to save your life and mine. Oh, he went through a lot to pay for your sins and mine. Oh, listen to me. I don't know about your life, but I know where I was. I know where I was, and I know what he done for me. I tell everybody, Jesus had a sense of humor when he saved me. He especially had a sense of humor when he called me into ministry. Oh, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't looking for it. But my friend, when Jesus gets a hold of that heart and he knocks on that heart's door, what are you looking for it or not? There ain't nothing you can do about it. But surrender and give it to him. Oh, listen, he stands today at your heart's door and is knocking. He tells us if you would just open up, he'll come in and sup with you and abide with you and you with him. Oh, maybe you're here today and you've never done that. Won't you come? We'll share with you in Scripture what you must do to be saved.